It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello, Mr. Pryor.
Hello, Mark. We're wrapping it up here.
Coming up to the end of the year real soon. Of course, week away for Christmas, as we're airing this show on Tuesday anyway. Of course, it's repeated on Saturday morning. And so a Christmas greeting to everybody if they won't be joining us, although you will be running a best of show on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I'll be doing a show, that, try to repeat one of the good shows that we've done from the year. Be helpful, yeah.
And this week, kind of a review in ways of kind of your philosophy of counseling.
That's right.
Keys
to a Sound Mind. That's the name of the show, Sound Mind. I thought I'd do this occasionally, maybe once a year. Talk to people a little bit about how I got started, why I do what I do. I think there's a lot of different people in the mental health field for a lot of different reasons. And although my story and my path is probably not absolutely unique, but it's probably less common that I actually did not get into the counseling field, professional counseling field, till later in life. So I was in the building industry for a couple of decades. Anyway.
Wow, long time.
Yeah,
like carpenter. You were a carpenter, a general contractor.
A little bit of trying to make money.
You're a rental landlord or whatever.
Yeah. Or have been a rental. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a house we lived in and then rented out because we got caught in the cascade of the collapse of the
market in 2008 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure a lot of people have painful stories about that.
You moved on from that.
Moved on. Yeah, I did. I did carpentry. Just learned by the seat of my pants. By gosh and by golly, they say, and did a little bit of everything in those years. Tough years trying to make a living at that, during the recession in the 70s. But I'd always raised in a Christian home, raised in a Christian school. Like most Christian people, had that period of backsliding and rebelling and going away from God, the typical things. And but came back to the Lord during the Jesus People movement. I was kind of on the outskirts of that back in the late 60s, early 70s. And from that point on, I was always involved in church, and it just seemed that I was always around. I was by default kind of like a co-leader of a youth group when I was 18, 19. And so, the younger people would come for advice, counseling. So I kind of started to get my toes into it then. And my wife and I were pastored a small church, the singles group, which was a bunch of college students from Evergreen State College, and our ages ranged from the mid-30s into the late 40s, early 50s. So it was an older group of single people. And we did that for 5 years and also put together regional conferences for single adults in the Northwest here. I got more and more into counseling. I would call it para-counseling or para-pastoral counseling. And what I began to realize as I was doing this more and more was that there were just a lot of people that fell through the cracks. There were some models in the church, counseling models in the church, but they weren't, unlike today, a lot of the churches, most of the churches wouldn't have had a counselor or a licensed counselor on staff. You had that Jesus People movement, and then there was kind of like an explosion of ministries and
a lot of people coming to the church
and
brought all their problems.
So there were a couple of kind of homespun counseling models, but I don't think they really got deep into some of the deeper issues. So I began to think that there was probably a need for some deeper, more professional counseling. I didn't really want to go to secular counseling model, but
kind of the beginnings of Christian counseling. That was kind of a new thing, but there was no such thing as Christian counseling.
You know, it had been around for a while. If you read back far enough, there were actually books out on some Christian models
about in the '70s,
but they weren't widely accepted. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of controversy
in professional counseling. You can't take secular ideas into Christian counseling,
particularly if a counselor was actually licensed by a state or something that just had the look of a secular, sharpening your tools in Egypt, kind of a thing. So I eventually had injuries at work. That's history, surgeries, back to school, and then some things lined up and fell through, and other things came together, and I wind up taking some psych classes, and long story short, got a degree at Evergreen, undergraduate degree at Evergreen State
in
College.
Counseling.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, in counseling. And I was actually one of the student counselors on campus there at Evergreen.
A lot of counseling needed at Evergreen. It's a pretty wild place.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. There were six counselors. I was the only man, certainly the only conservative, and certainly the only Christian, and of the other five were women, three were lesbians, and two were very, very angry. And the only group that I had anything to do with there was a homosexual men's group, and they were very angry with conservative Christian men, too.
So and they throw you in
it
there?
It was a baptism. And,
wow.
Yeah, and, that. But I learned a lot of things there, and I came out actually with a stronger faith. And then, graduate school to get my degree and license, and then have been in private practice now for over 20 years, roughly 23 years, with all the parapastoral counseling behind it. So mm-hmm. quite a few years of counseling. And I really, my burden had always been for mental health in the church.
In the church.
And
that's always been who you mainly counsel, are Christians.
Yeah, yeah. It's
occasional insurance referral, but mostly Christians.
Yeah, really, this Christian show, this Christian radio station is my advertisement, as well as, a ministry. And so I really work with people from the church, and, you know, the people, God's people struggle with the same things that the secular world struggles with. And what I want to do probably for the remainder of the show is just hit the tops of just a couple of things.
Okay.
If it's possible, I would like to people to go through the Christmas season here and just remember a few key things about having a sound mind. I hear this a lot. You know, how do I build my faith? How do I feel forgiven? How do I find peace? How do I feel love or learn love? And I was thinking as I was preparing this tune, that iconic phrase, "The answers are blowing in the wind," went through my mind. And I was thinking that phrase certainly captures the absurdity of my generation,
yes,
and probably explains a lot of the lostness of the present generation.
My generation is, I want to know what love is.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So all the same kind of idea.
Yeah, I can remember young people sitting around in the grass playing acoustic guitars and singing that the answers are blowing in the wind with such conviction and almost as though, by golly, you know, the answers might be blowing in the wind if we could just capture them. But I could just see the looks on their faces. Uh-huh. They had such belief about but the answers aren't blowing in the wind, not for the secular people and not for the Christians. Questions like, how do I build my faith? How do I feel forgiven? How do I find peace? How do I find love? Those are so clear in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the problem is we don't obey.
Right.
And that sounds like maybe a little harsh, but it is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
And even people that are in deep emotional sorrow or anguish in their life right now, if they're believers, they know that if somehow they could just plug into doing it God's way, they would have the promises of God. And that's really our, you know, just people say, why do Christians need counseling? And I say, because it's so hard to die.
Right.
But there are a couple of things that we can do, and so I wanted to start off by saying that.
Well, you're a big believer in church. Finding
I am.
Your relationship
I
in church.
I am.
That's like
betcha.
Number one thing you probably ask somebody who comes in complaining about some problem, you say, okay, yeah. Well, where are you going to church? Yeah. Oh, I haven't been to church in 20 years.
That is, that is part of it, because relationships, I think I've said in a previous show that the community is the topography of our mental health, and just, you know, the Christian community, you know, you read in Scripture, you know, God does, I'll be repetitive in this show because I can get ahead of my outline here and it doesn't matter. It's all going to flow together. But, you know, God basically has two main parts to his nature, and that is he creates and he relates. And he has designed human beings. We're wired, hardwired for relationship. And in the church and the body of Christ, I've just been struck with the profoundness of these thoughts that I've heard all my life. But you know how you can hear things, scriptures can run through your mind, or you can hear things preached and they don't, and it takes a while to sink in, and then one day it just kind of dawns on you the power of it. But the power of the fact that, you know, we have the same Spirit in us that was in Christ, but the intention is that all of the believers together are a body. So it's not a metaphor or analogy. It's a living organism. And we really, if we want to experience the promises and the gifts of Christ, we have to be in the body of Christ. So I know it's difficult sometimes to find that church where it feels like home, but I've got some suggestions here that I'll go over in a bit. First of all, you know, we have to learn to pray. I think every Christian should know that he or she is capable of praying 2 or 3 hours. And that's not the sort of thing that you would do regularly. But if you haven't done it, it's like living your life without having ever run.
2 or 3 hours a day?
Not a day, okay. but I think every Christian should have something, some things under their belt, and one of them is to know that I've done this and I have the ability to pray for 2 or 3 hours straight. I could do that. Because so many of the problems that we face in life require the kind of prayer where we pray right through the problem until we have the joy. And sometimes, whether we're praying for our kids or for a lost loved one or a situation in our life, sometimes it requires that we pray extensively. Now when are you going to find time?
Well, and right there, I think you lost probably 90% of people growing to church.
Right.
So, people in church don't pray 2 or 3 hours or feel like they could.
Yeah.
So that's quite a tall order.
It is a tall order. And I learned to do this. And that's one of the things I know that I can do. Mm. But, you know, you have to get up in the middle of the night to do it sometimes. But what I've found is if there are burdens on my heart and if I'm stressed and that, and sometimes I just say, you know, I got to get up and pray. Mm-hmm. I can lay here on my bed and toss and turn and worry, or I can get up and pray through the problem, and I will be just as rested in the morning as if I'd laid here on my bed and tried to sweat it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to explore that some more as we come back from the break in just a moment. People are intrigued. They know they need counseling. They like that you're a Christian counselor, Bible-based counselor, as you say. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, yeah, you can call me, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You find these radio shows in podcast form there at the BibleBasedCounselor.com. And, of course, I have an office in Edmonds and Kirkland. So, again, the number, 425-778-6169.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with your co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor this week, looking at keys to a sound mind. You raised kind of a provocative idea there that all Christians should pray to or be able to be. I think the main thing is to be able to pray. A life of prayer. People mm-hmm. need to know that mm-hmm. that is their main source of sustenance, is I need to take this to the Lord, and they're not daunted by that.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that I certainly don't pray that much. It's certainly not 2 or 3 hours a day. But I've done it on a number of occasions, and so I know it can be done. It's like, as I said, it's like living your life without ever having broken mm-hmm. a sweat or run. You know, you just need to do it sometimes. Christians need to know that. And I've heard so many Christians say, you know, I just can't pray over a few minutes. I get sleepy or whatever. Well, and that's true for all of us. But at some point in your Christian life, I think you've got to experience the power of praying like that and know just how powerful that can be. Mm. If you don't experience it, you'll never know it. And so I think every Christian should do a 3-day fast at some time in their life. And really, we should be fasting regularly, but mm-hmm. few of us can. But I think you should have some real strong fasting under your belt.
You can fast other things. You can fast, like for me, the challenge is the media fast, mm-hmm. Fasting from media.
Yeah.
You know, don't watch TV for 3 days. Oh, yeah. Wow, I don't know if I can do that.
That's right, because if you can't say no to yourself, you can't say yes to God.
Well, there you go.
That's exactly right. And then another thing is the relationships. We say, you know, we have to be in the presence of God, I say, and we have to obey. We have to hear and we have to obey. We have to learn to pray. We have to obey. And we have to deepen our relationships. And I do a lot of talk about relationships, if you've said before. I was talking to a dear person just this past week who had a tremendous loss in her life, and she's left without relationships. And she was sharing, we were talking about this, the importance of the Christian community. She's had difficulty getting in into a church where she feels at home, and she's been at this one church where she filled out a form for to be a part of some group, and the pastor was reading the names, and she said he didn't recognize her name, didn't recognize her last name, and so he did some research and he put the name together with the face, and then from that point on he addressed her with her name, and we were talking about how that opened up an entirely new way of, you know, a whole different context in their relationship. If you could imagine walking into a room of strangers where you don't know anybody's name, even a church, you don't know anybody's name, they don't know your name, and you imagine the feeling that you have as opposed to walking into the same room and just simply knowing the names of the people
Absolutely.
That are sitting in that room.
Everybody wants to go where they know my name.
Yeah,
there was a TV show I had that as a theme song.
It is. It's an entirely different feeling. And so, you know, I have these mantras or these slogans that I say, you know, your experience of yourself is your experience of other people experiencing you, or you are who you are in relationships. You know, who am I? Who am I? Well, you are who you are in relationships. When you go into a place and you know people's name and they know your name and they know something about you,
mm-hmm.
It sort of clarifies for you who you are. At least you're not worried about it. You there's a comfort. You have a sense. Maybe you don't know everything. And I say you can't see behind your own eyeballs. We don't really know who we are. I don't really know who I am. I'm anchored in my relationships. When I'm with people that know something about me, it sort of clarifies for me in a sense. I feel that I fit in there. I feel that I belong there. This mm-hmm. is where I should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as knowing everything about myself. I think that that's I don't think that that's possible. I think mm-hmm. that's just mm-hmm.
Definitely a key to a sound mind, deep church relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have to grow our world, and we've talked a lot about this. You know, to grow your world, of course, you have to pursue some meaningful goals and emphasize meaningful goals. Meaningful goals are things that not only mean something to me, they mean something to the community that's the context of my life and growth. So they have to mean something to other people too. Otherwise, we get into a situation where I have things that are meaningful to me, but not things that are meaningful to other people. So I pursue those things. And first thing, you know, my life is getting increasingly fragmented. My relationships are dropping off. We can even do that in our walk with God, have fragmented faith, not by taking care and pursuing meaningful things. The alternative, you'll lack meaning in your life, and you'll wind up looking for ways to escape the boredom, and then you're going to be drawn toward habitual behavior patterns and addictions and all kinds of things like that.
You think it's mainly boredom that drives addictions?
Well, I think that's one of the things, because, you know, I don't think our brain and our mind like boredom. We like to be, and so you see kids coming home from school and I'm bored, and so what do? They grab the Game Boy or something, and they, you know, and they just perpetuate an addiction.
Right.
Or somebody
right.
comes home from work and doesn't quite know what to do with himself or herself, so they grab the bottle and pour a drink, and that takes care of it. So, yeah, you can easily find yourself in addictive things. So growing your world, you know, pursuing meaningful goals. And the other thing that you do in growing your world is you deepen your relationships. So we've just got through
so it's kind of
got
to be meaningful
that.
To you, but also to others.
Yeah, because if it's just meaningful to me and it doesn't have any context in the greater community, I'm going to be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll be the only one in my church that does underwater basket weaving.
Isn't that part of what making something meaningful? That's part of it. Do other people value this? Do other people validate
right.
my gift, you yeah. know, the gift that yeah. I bring? Do people yeah. validate it?
Because self-esteem is the question of how am I esteemed in the community of other persons.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there isn't a self apart from, you know, in Maslow's hierarchy, I can fulfill belonging needs with the pet rock.
Right.
But I can't fulfill self-esteem needs unless it's in the community of other persons.
Right.
Yeah, so that is very important. Of course, the alternative to growing your world is your world gets smaller, and then we're heading toward, we've talked in many shows on this, about the root ball, you know, depression, anxiety, fear, shame, anger. We call it the root ball because you can't talk about one of these things without implying the others, and they're tied up in, you know, kind of envision a root ball. It's hard to separate them out. And these things generate all of the our emotional and behavioral disorders that you find in that diagnostic manual. So when people come to me for, you know, OCD or ODD or PTSD or ADD or, you know, we're really just dealing with the root ball: anxiety, depression, anger, fear, shame.
Okay.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to hit on, goals versus expectations. And because a lot of times you might be on the, maybe you're buying into this, okay, I'm going to try some of these things that Dan's suggesting and that he's suggested in some of his other shows, or I've tried them before and I don't get the joy that I think I should have. Or a married couple might be saying, you know, we want affection in our relationship, and so we're trying better communication, and I'm trying to submit to my husband because I know the Bible tells me to, and the husband says I'm trying to lay down my life for my wife because the Bible tells me to, but we're not getting that emotion that, you know, Hollywood says we should have, you know, or the fairy tale books tell us we should have. We hang on to the goal, but we don't hang on to our expectations. Expectations can be disappointed. Expectations can change. You think of Christmas time coming, and a lot of kids, most kids probably at some point in their very, very young life, have been told that Santa Claus is coming, get in bed and close your eyes. And so they have a – now, you know, some of them get out of that pretty quickly. Our daughter, I think when she was about – four, I think I remember her out in the yard, and I forget what time of year it was. It must have been fall, because Christmas was somewhat in the air, but, you know, I saw her looking up at the chimney, and I just could see the wheels turning. For some reason, I knew right where her mind was going. We had one of those small, you know, stainless steel chimney pipes going up, and she asked about Santa, and I didn't want to ruin the rest of her life. So I said, what do you think? And she said, he can't get down that chimney. So I said, well, where do you think the presents come from? She said, I think you and Mom get them. I said, okay, well.
So did you?
You're right.
You win the prize. Yeah.
So she
you
went over to the neighbors. And she went over to the neighbors and told their kids they weren't the Santa.
No.
And then they called us. They were very, very upset about it. So some kids, they figured that out. But the point is, they at some point, the expectations change, and our expectations change too. So we hang on to the goal. Say for a couple, we say the goal is to have our marriage Christ-like. And so there are ways. How are we going to approach that goal? Well, I know I have to lay down my life for my wife. Now I have to explore what that means. I can't just say the words. Mm. It can't just be rhetorical. I've got to figure out what does it mean to do that. How do I do that practically in ways that I understand? And the wife says, I'm supposed to submit to my husband, but how exactly do I do that? So they talk about that, and they have this goal in mind, and they might have expectations. But the expectations, if they're unrealistic, and I say, someone says, well, I think my expectations are realistic, but are they realistic in the context of that particular relationship? Mm-hmm. You know, for example, something happens in the marriage, and somebody has a heart attack, or somebody, and so they're somewhat disabled, and so the person says, "That wasn't my expectation for this relationship." So my expectations have to change, but my goal remains the same. We have to keep it. We have to remember to separate the goals. Hang on to your goals. Don't allow. And sometimes we have to let go of our expectations or let those change. Unmet expectations are like disenchantments, and that's actually a good thing because we don't want to be enchanted in life. We want to We want to live life real.
Even though the Christmas season is kind of enchanting, and we do wish everybody a great Christmas season, people, though, maybe that one of their goals for the new year or getting into resolutions and things is to get some counseling to help get them a sound mind, and Daniel would love to assist you with that. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 778-6169, and you can also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
And if you've got some extra time over the break, you might listen to some of Daniel's podcasts, too. Mm-hmm. Many subjects addressed at BibleBasedCounselor.com. This has been Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.